The scripture reading for this morning comes from Mark chapter 8, beginning in the 27th verse. Jesus and his disciples went into the village around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and 3 days later rise again. He spoke plainly about this, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, and along with his disciples, he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The theme for the sermon this morning is the confession of Peter that you are the Christ. Peter's one of those guys in the Bible that sometimes the way he lives his life kind of gives me hope. Peter's one of those guys that was a struggling Christian at times, just like me. Sometimes he was even a coward who had no trust in the Lord. Peter was in Jesus' closest circle of disciples, but he abandoned Jesus at the cross. And Peter not once, but three different times denied Jesus in Jesus' darkest hour. But Peter also got it right sometimes. In this passage, Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter responded his confession, "You are the Christ." Christ is a title that means that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's the one who would come and take away the sins of the world. But Jesus being the Christ is very significant because it means that Jesus is God, that Jesus is almighty, that Jesus is all-powerful, that Jesus is in control of this world, that he's also in control of your very life. Today I will be speaking and preaching on Jesus, who has taken away the sin of the world, and on Jesus, who is almighty, all-powerful, and in control of this world, and that Jesus is at work in your life, even in the midst of your hardest times. Every Sunday before we take the Lord's Supper, we sing, "Christ, thy Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us." But have you ever stopped to think and meditate on those words that we say in the liturgy every Sunday, that Christ is the Lamb of God that has taken away the sins of the world? Let's talk about that forgiveness for just a minute. One thing that we cannot do apart from Christ is to forgive ourselves of our sins. One of the biggest problems in America today is not a lack of self-esteem, it's a lack of forgiveness. And outside of Christ, true forgiveness is only a foreign concept. Non-believers understand the concept of an eye for an eye. They understand a tooth for a tooth, but they do not understand God's forgiveness. Courts will either punish or they will declare that you have not done anything illegal, but they don't grant forgiveness on God's behalf for your sins. True peace with God for your wrongdoing, for your sin, is a blessing from God that comes alone through faith in Jesus Christ. So you who trust in God for your forgiveness, you who trust in God alone for your salvation, you're different than unbelievers. Unbelievers are not willing to ask for forgiveness. And it's sad that Jesus died for the whole world's sin, But most people in the world reject it because they don't want God's forgiveness. But maybe even equally as sad is that there are people who reject Jesus' forgiveness, but Christians often, who are forgiven, act like pagans or non-believers. All of you have heard Matthew chapter 6. It's the promise that God will take care of you like he takes care of the birds in the field. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. It says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles, they seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." In a way, Jesus was shaming the Jewish people for their worry about not trusting in God to provide, and he compared them to living their lives like the pagans, the Gentiles, who didn't believe. The Jews had the Almighty God in their presence, the all-powerful God, providing for them, and they acted like people without a God. People beloved by Christ who are here today, Jesus is in control. Jesus is providing for you. Jesus is blessing you every single day of your life. It's non-believers and pagans that talk about fate. They talk about luck. They talk about good fortune and karma and deserving what they get in this life. But it's easy for us as Christians to fall into the same false way of thinking that everything that happens to us is just fate, or it's just luck in this life, or it's because we were born into a good family, or we have it good because we've learned to work hard. Remember that that is a pagan way of thinking. As Christians, we know that we have everything, single thing that we have in this life, our body, our soul, our eyes, our ears, our ability to think, our clothes, our shoes, our food, our drink, our house, our home, our wife, our children, our land, our animals, and all of these are direct blessings from God himself. My challenge to you is to look at your life and how God has blessed you as a Christian, with your finances, with the things that God has blessed you with your health, with your faith. But I'm not naive. I know that there will be times of economic uncertainty in your life. I know that there will be times when some of you feel very distant from God. And I know that some of you will deal with death, whether it's your own death or the death of a loved one who is dealing with cancer or dealing with heart disease or diabetes or some other condition. My prayer for you is that even in the midst of your future suffering, that you will proclaim Peter's words, that Jesus is the Christ. Even when you feel like your world is out of control, realize that Jesus is in control, because Jesus is the Christ. When you feel like your heart is broken by death and sickness, know that God will be with you, that he is your comfort. Know that even in the valley of the shadow of death, that Peter's proclamation is still true, that Jesus is the Christ, that he's in control, that he's in charge of this world. God will never abandon you. You can trust in Jesus. You can put all of your heart in your faith. With your entire mind, you can trust in the Lord. Before I finish today, I want to remind you of Peter's confession about Jesus, that he is the Christ, that he's the Messiah, that he's almighty, but also that we should stop and meditate on these things. They're amazing, they're powerful, they're radical. And it's a different way than the world thinks about God in the world. When problems do come to you, be careful not to be polarized into doubt and disillusionment, because Satan loves to discourage you And he would love to destroy your faith if that was possible to do. But remember that the same Jesus who suffered 2,000 years ago to save you from hell will also continue to be with you every single day of your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're suffering with, no matter what anxiety or depression is bothering you. Jesus is still the Lord. Jesus is still the Christ. Jesus is still almighty and he's all powerful. And Jesus has not only taken away the sins of the world, but he's taken your sins away. Now may this grace, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and may it guard your minds through Jesus, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.